Well, welcome back to class. I hope you had a great holiday. Happy New Year to you. I believe personally that the year of 2021 is going to be the beginning or the best year that leads to the beginning of the best decade for the church. And so I bless you. Welcome back to class. Hope you're getting back in the swing of things and look forward to getting into this lesson tonight. Tonight, we're going to start in chapter 6, The Power of Covenant. You know, we can see right before our eyes the unfolding of chaos in our country, if you're in the United States, and pretty much all over the world with COVID-19. And to be very blunt about it, these things are happening at this rate because of the failure of the church. Now, this particular chapter is going to give us solutions and what has to happen in the church for things to turn around. Now, the church as a whole has not been accomplishing the will of God. There are certain pockets of the body of Christ. Most times with the pockets of the body of Christ that are successful in accomplishing things, you probably won't hear about them because the way they do things is not according to the world system, is not according to what the government wants them to do, not according to what the people wants them to do, but they're doing things according to how God wants it done. And so we see the power of covenant. We talked about earlier in our classes before, in Genesis 11 chapter, we saw the power of covenant when they were building the Tower of Babel. They had one language, they had one agenda, and they were all on one accord, everybody playing their parts. So in the body of Christ, currently, we don't necessarily have that happening. We have different denominations, we have different ideas, different agendas. And so it makes it impossible for God to fully open up and pour out all that he wants to pour out on the body of Christ. One of the things you must understand about God as our Father is you must all understand him as God being sovereign. What I mean by that is God is not a God that compromises. The church, to a certain degree, has compromised. We've changed. We've allowed some things to go on in the church that God says shouldn't go on in the church. We've allowed some behaviors to exist. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not in a judgment or condemning. We're in the accountability. See, one of the things you must understand about God is God does not compromise for anyone. As a matter of fact, God did not compromise for Adam and Eve. He had accountability set in place, which allows for choices to be made. All right. He had accountability set in place. What was the accountability? He said to Adam and Eve, you can eat off any tree you want in the garden. Have at it. Be free. He said, but see this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not touch. That was accountability. Now, Adam and Eve, of course, made that choice. But here's what I want you to recognize. Because Adam and Eve made their choice, God did not compromise his word. So for you and I, we are free to make choices, but God will not compromise his word for our choices. God will not compromise his word for the choices that the church makes. So this is why Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, is so powerful. Matter of fact, let's turn it, let's read it. We've read it a number of times, but let's read it again because we have to read this over and over, and we have to get this down into our souls and into our spirits so that we can understand structure in the church, so we can understand how we're going to get to this one agenda. How are we going to get to a place where God can pour his spirit out on all flesh? So even though some terrible things ought to happen in the last days, God also say in the last days he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. But he's not going to pour out his spirit on all flesh if the flesh is not ready to perform his will. Let me say that again. God is not going to compromise and pour his spirit out on all flesh if the flesh is not willing to accomplish his will. So here we read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse. Well, let's go back a little further. Let's start at verse 7, because I want you to see who is doing this. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, the gift of who? Christ. All right. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Who is he? Jesus. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, meaning Jesus took our place in hell, all right, went, got the keys from Satan and brought them back and gave them to us. All right, now here we go, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things, present himself to God as the living sacrifice and the last sacrifice. Here it is, verse 11. And he, who is he? Meaning Jesus. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All right. Why? Verse 12, for the perfecting or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's go through that again. Verse 12, for the maturing of the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, so that through the work of the ministry, the body of Christ can be built or expanded. So it all begins with the fivefold ministry gifts. And the fivefold ministry gift, that was in chronological order. You have apostles and prophets, then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All right, so therefore, if you are a pastor, evangelist, or a teacher, you must be connected to an apostle and a prophet. Your ministry has to be connected to an apostle or a prophet. Why? Because all the gifts operate together. So if you are a pastor without any prophetic insight and without any apostolic or prophetic insight, your ministry will hit a brick wall. Why? Because you will begin to face forces in the darkness that you are not equipped to handle alone. Listen. The power of covenant is that we must come together as a unit to accomplish the will of God. The Tower of Babel was going to be accomplished because all the people were together on one accord. So it's not a matter of fact of how anointed you are. You can be anointed as you want as a pastor. But if you don't have access to the yoke removing, burden destroying power of an apostle, which is different than the yoke burden, yoke-breaking, burden-removing power of a pastor. They're two different offices, two different assignments, all supposed to come together and work together. So without the power of covenant. See, this is why we're teaching and you're learning in the culture of honor how all these offices have to work together. If we don't work together, if we don't have a culture of honor, respect each other's respective grace, then there will be no coming together of one agenda. And so therefore, God will not be able to pour his spirit out on all flesh. See, the reason why the church hasn't reached its full potential is because of us not being of one agenda, not recognizing apostles, not recognizing true prophets. A prophet does more than just see into the future. As a matter of fact, a prophet has to be connected to an apostle. The apostle sets order and direction for the house. What that means, the apostle points everybody in one direction, including the prophet. So now when the prophet is turned in the right direction, he or she can now see clearly as to where God wants to go. And the apostle respects the prophet because the trust is there that they are seeing where God wants to go. So the apostle structures doctrine, sets order, structures heaven to earth government so that the agenda of God can flow freely. I hope you're getting this. See, the power of covenant allows us to synergize synonymous energy. All of us have different energies, but we bring them together, we're able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the ninth, third, I think it's the third chapter. Ecclesiastes, yeah, the fourth chapter. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. I want you to see something. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. By the way, side note. Always when you're learning from somebody or somebody's teaching you the word of God or you're sitting in a church service, always have access to the word of God. The reason why I'm using my Bible, the reason why I can usually use my iPad. You may have an iPad, but have the word of God in front of you when somebody is teaching you so that you can follow with them in the scriptures. Because here's the thing, you don't want to just take a person's word for it. You want to make sure that you know exactly what God is saying and you can verify. You can verify what God is saying. Let me get to Ecclesiastes. Always have the word of God with you. You don't want, that's what happened in the Catholic Church just 40 or 50 years ago. Everything was written in Latin. How many of y'all know how to speak Latin? I'm probably confident in saying that it's probably close to 0% of y'all listening to me can speak Latin. So if you can't speak Latin, what's the use in the Bible being read to you in Latin? Can you understand anything? No. So this is what I mean about not just letting anybody preach to you. You must have the word of God with you whenever you sit down and submit yourself to listening to somebody preach the word of God. You need to have your Bible so you can follow them, so you can see if they're telling the truth or they're making up stuff as they go. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, the ninth verse. Watch what this says. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath no have not another to help him up. Wow. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a three-fourth cord is not quickly broken. So therefore, you're starting to see the power of covenant, the power of working, the power of having one agenda. Now, let's start making sense of this. If you remember earlier in our class sessions, I began to talk to you about how you are to be God-centric and not self-centric. Meaning that when anything you do for God should not be for self-serving principles or purposes. It should be to please God. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Please God. So our objective of our faith is to please God. Our objective of our lives is to please God. Let me drop one on you. I heard an apostle say this to me the other day. He said, the most important thing to God, watch this now, the most important thing to God is you obeying his voice. That's the most important thing to God. Oh, I know you thought your ministry, you doing ministry is the most important thing to God, or you seeking and saving those who are lost. No. The most important thing to God is that you obey his voice. When you obey his voice, he knows he has your energy. He knows he has your attention. He knows he has your giftings. He knows he has your abilities. And you're going to use all of those things to please him. So when you are aiming to hear the voice of God, you can effectively do everything God is asking you to do. Why? Because you're not making things up as you go. So here it is, being God-centric, God at the center, everything else revolves around him. You're going to have this attitude if you're going to maximize the power of covenant. Because if you are self-centric, you will not last in covenant. Because guess what? God's agenda is not focused on you. God's agenda is focused on what he wants. Get this. God's agenda is not focused on what you want. God's agenda is focused on what he wants. And he gives us the opportunity to be involved with what he's doing. And when we're involved with what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish, then it obligates him to be concerned about what we want. Are you seeing this? So we cannot be self-centered. We have to be God-centric in the power of covenant. You see, we read Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, how it says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord, that means a cord. Those of you who have ever dealt with twine rope, is rope that's intertwined. And you realize, as a matter of fact, things are pulled with that rope. And it takes a lot of pressure to pull that rope apart. Why? Because you have three strands that are curled, that are woven together to make that rope strong. That is the illustration what God is talking about we as the body of Christ should be. Now, we have not been woven tightly. Because as I said before at the beginning, you see now our country is at a point to where chaos is ensuing our country. But hey, don't be alarmed now, because I will tell you this. Chaos hit the country of Egypt when they had the children of Israel in slavery. But the Bible plainly says when there was darkness all over Egypt, there was light in Goshen. All those plagues that hit Egypt never went into Goshen, where the children of Israel were staying. Never. So let's bring it personal. When you are doing the will of God, is as if you're in the land of Goshen. None of these plagues, none of these things that are affecting the world system will affect you when you continue to obey God's voice. You're going to have some fellow Christians that will be affected. Why? Because they're not obeying the voice of God. Oh, they're going to heaven. Oh, yeah, they're going to heaven. They're going to make it to heaven, but they're going to catch hell down here. You have to obey the voice of God. You have to become apostolic. What that simply means, I'm connected to the agenda of God. Catch that. I am connected to the, I have to be connected to the agenda of God. The agenda of God is it's illustrations all over the Bible. The Noah's Ark, God's agenda. If I would have been out there with Noah, I'd have helped Noah build that ark. I'd have helped Noah build that ark. Why? Because then my family would have been in that ark with Noah. Oh, man. Did you see this? It's written all over the Bible. Listen, I want to be in that number. I want to be in God's agenda. Now, because the church has not been tightly woven, that threefold cord that Ecclesiastes talked about, things have begun to creep into the church. The church has been, it's no longer, it has been, because this last decade or so, the apostles have been rising back to their rightful place. Those that are structuring doctrine, structuring heaven to earth government, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so that God can pour out his spirit on all flesh. The church has been getting back into his rightful place. Matter of fact, this whole thing that this country is going on now is giving the church an opportunity to get back in his rightful place. See, God is not, once again, God is not going to compromise for the church just because we're the church. Grab that now. God is not going to compromise for the church just because we're the church. The church has to follow God's agenda, just like everything, just like all the creation, just like everything else. The church has to follow God's agenda. So here we have things been creeping into the church because we've been in the chapter begins, we're going to start talking about, in a process of decline. So the church has not been in her rightful place. Let's read this. Watch this. Go with me to Isaiah 59. When you get a chance, go through and read the whole chapter of Isaiah 59, and you'll be able to follow me even clearer. After we finish this, you go back and read 59, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. So God's plans for the church are delayed. See, God is not going to pour out his spirit on all flesh just because it's just flesh. He says he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh when we are in alignment with his agenda. Listen to that. When we are in alignment with his agenda. So therefore, I firmly believe Jesus could have came very soon. Before he came, before Jesus was born on the earth, he could have got here much quicker. What held him back? People not following the agenda of God. I mean, between Malachi and Matthew, it was 400 years before God said anything to a man. See, what we fail to realize, God has eternity. God has eternity. So God's agenda is hinged upon how well we execute his agenda. So when we don't execute his agenda, that means he pulls his hands back. He pauses because his plans are delayed because we're not doing it his way. Don't be involved with the aborting of God's agenda. Well, how that happens? When you're not connected to an authentic agenda from God, when you're self-centric, when you think God's plan begins with you, you are helping to abort God's agenda. Watch what happens. Watch this. Look in Isaiah 59. I hope you're learning something. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Let me get to it. Isaiah 59. Let's remember, read the first verse. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." So all this praying and stuff we've been doing, Isaiah saying, God is not, he got the power to make it happen. He got the power to deliver us. Matter of fact, he been hearing what we've been saying. Well, watch this. Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." Verse 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muted perverseness." What that's saying? Isaiah's saying, hey, and it's a very accurate representation of today's church. We've let sin creep into the church. We've read the word of God and twisted it to make it fit our agenda. Not his agenda, our agenda. God is no longer available to us because our sins have taken us out. Watch this. We see God withdraw his presence and his power from us. His ears are shut towards us. His face is not shining on us. His hands no longer are stretched towards us. The favor is withdrawn because of sin and our separation from him. All right. Number two, we become corrupt eternally and decline in our spiritual state. Look at verse 3. "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness." Look at verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them." Verse 13. "In transgression and in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departed away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehoods." So you see, the sin that we have allowed to creep in the church without having accountability, not judgment, but accountability, it has turned away the presence of God. Watch this. Our blessings, provisions and protections are cut off. Wow. Our blessings, provisions, and protections are cut off. What is due to us is cut off from us. Look at verse 9. Therefore, is judgment far from us? Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the walls like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places at dreadmen. That means we don't know what to do. We don't know what's going on. We don't know. Numbers in the churches have been declining. We don't know why. Why? Because the apostle and the prophet has been out of place. We've been having a pastoral driven church. So therefore, if we're not going to do things in proper order, remember what I said, God is not going to compromise. Not going to compromise with the church just to get his will done. Either we have to do, here's why. If God was to pour out his spirit on us in our current condition without the apostles and the prophets being in their rightful positions, that means God is condoning and approving our current way of doing things, which is not his way, which means he is compromising. Why would Jesus give us apostles and prophets and say, okay, that's okay, I'm not going to use them. I'm just going to stick with pastors, teachers, and evangelists. So because of us not being structurally properly structured, these things are beginning to happen to us. Blessings and provisions and protections are cut off. Oh, look at 2 Chronicles 20:20. He said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his what? Believe his what? Believe his what? Prophets, and what's going to happen? So shall ye what? Prosper. Pastor was not mentioned there. Not downing pastors. Everybody has their place. The reason why the church is running around lost, the reason why the church, I was so disgusted the other day. About a month ago, was on a call with the religious leaders of our country, with representatives from, this actually happened to me twice. So the Bible says out of two or three, out the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So this happened actually twice. Let me tell you the first time. The first time I went to a meeting of religious leaders with our local senator in Louisiana. And in that particular meeting, we were asked to introduce ourselves and what church we represented, what religious organization we represented, and what was our purpose at the meeting. So they went around the room, and as they went around the room introducing themselves and saying the ministries that they represented and the ministries they were leaders in, and they asked them what they were there for, 90% of them said they needed financial help. When they got to me, I introduced myself and told them I represented Word of Life Christians and Ever-Increasing Word Ministry. I'm representing Apostle Leroy Thompson. And I said, I'm not here for nothing. I just want to see how I can help you. The senator sat back in his chair and he said, what? I said, I'm just here to see how can I help you. We don't need nothing. That's the way the church should be. Every leader should have been in that room. Every religious leader should have been in that room telling that senator, how can we help you? Or thus said the Lord. But all of them went there with their hands out. Again, this happened to me second time. We had a phone conference less than a month ago on the phone with the Department of Justice and some representative for President Trump. And they opened the call up. They let a few people talk. Where they pray, a pastor prayed. They let a few people greet the religious leaders. And the next subject they went to, they got somebody off the department, a representative from the Department of Justice, and he began to rattle off all of the grants that were available to religious institutions. which means this phone call, I got on a phone call thinking we're about to get information on how we need to pray, what we need to pray for. This phone call was about where can we get money from? But yet, we have an apostle and prophet that has been preaching the word and been prophetically declaring the word money cometh to the body of Christ for over 20 years. Now, let me give you an example of what I meant earlier about different pockets of the body of Christ are successful, but most people will never hear about it. Here at Word of Life Christian Center, the membership here, we haven't been in church since March. We haven't had, our phones barely ring. As a matter of fact, the income has increased. People are sending us testimonies out of the church of things happening to them miraculously. People have actually contracted COVID-19 and overcome it. Just all sorts of positive things. Media never talk about that. Why? Because it doesn't fit their narrative. So here it is, an apostle and a prophet. We are standing on the word of God. We are operating apostolic. We believe the words, money cometh. And because of that, we've been able to be a blessing rather than a hindrance. That's why decline is taking place in the body of Christ, because instead of the church, instead of government coming to the church, all throughout the Bible, government has always been going to the church. Kings have always been going to the priests or the prophets. Now the priest and the preachers are going to the kings. That's backwards. But nevertheless, we're learning because of covenant, synergizing ourselves, learning how to work together. We're learning how to overcome that and change that trajectory. This I believe with all my heart, this next decade is going to be the greatest decade of the church. Why? Because the church will become apostolic. There are some churches that were surviving under the old paradigm that will not be able to survive under this worldly system environment. Why? Because they're still operating from a pastoral leadership instead of an apostolic leadership. I hope you're catching this. So here it is. Watch this. The blessings are outside of our territories. Goodness and mercy do not follow us. Our voices are not heard and they are drowned. We have no voice. See, if we're not going to do this thing God's way, we can't see what we want to do is we want to take God's voice and say what we want to say. Come on now, catch that. We can't take God's voice and say we want to say and think it's going to have to carry the same weight. We have to take the voice of God and say what he says. We have to take the voice of God and do what he says if we want a voice. See, here at Word of Life, we have a voice. Why we have a voice? We have a voice because no matter what happens in the world system, it does not affect those who are connected. Now, connection means participating. Participating. Those that are participating. This is why it's so important. As a matter of fact, if you have not gotten on the Slack app yet to be a part of the salvation campaign, that was a directive from our apostle. If you're part of Word of Life, you're in this school, and if you're in this school, you need to learn what we're doing. I'm commanding you now to get on the Slack app. I want you to text the word witness, W-I-T-N-E-S-S, to the number 225-230-2234 so that you can join the Slack app and see other Christians from around the world that are getting people born again, putting a name and ages, and people start saying, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, praise God. Because now that's a directive, that's an instruction, that's an agenda that God has given us. If you're a part of Word of Life and you're in this school and you have not gotten on the Slack app, shame on you. And I'm challenging the rest of you all in this school, get on the Slack app, be a part of this. How can you How can you ask God to use you and you can't follow the instructions of somebody you can see? I'm commanding you to get on the Slack app. I should see an increase after tonight on this Slack app. If you're not on this Slack app yet, matter of fact, here's an assignment. Here's an assignment. I want you to email me through our classroom portal and say, I am on the Slack app. I want you to, I'm putting a demand on you to email me and say, and I'm going to show it to Apostle. I'm going to say, Apostle, these are your students that are on Slack app. And we're going to compare it to the ones that's not on Slack app. We're going to compare the list I get. We're going to compare it to the student roster. If you're not on Slack, I'm going to ask you why. What's the problem? What's the holdup? Well, why are you not? There's no reason for you not to be on the Slack app. You said you want God to use you. Well, God has given us instructions. Here it is. Lay it at your feet. Let's get on board. Again, if you don't want to get how to get on the Slack app, text the word witness 225-230-2234. All right, I've gone long enough. Again, welcome back to school. Glad y'all here. This is going to be a powerful second half of the school year. I bless you. I'll see you next week.